Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
But anyway, I'll ask a new question. Do you believe that we should have paid time off in cases of domestic violence? Let me know. The number is 087-188-0008. Should we have paid time off? Donal, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Donal?
How are you doing, Niall?
Good, Donal. Interesting, really, whether we should have... I mean, does nobody dispute the fact that domestic violence is a thing and it's a real thing and there are real victims? But should people get paid time off?
Well, first of all, Niall, thank you so much for saying that men get abused as well. Thanks, because I'm firmly of the opinion that Women's Aid do not recognise the fact that men get abused.
Well, Women's Aid are not there to recognise that fact. Women's Aid are an NGO funded by the state for women.
Exactly. Okay. But Niall, I heard that their chief executive on prime time some months ago, and she almost went to the stage where she actually denied it. Because there was a man on the show as well that was suffered domestic abuse, and she just didn't want to know about it.
I don't think she wouldn't want to know about it. But there is a men's organisation, Men's Aid. We've spoken to them on the air. The biggest problem is the funding.
The funding
is tiny compared to women's domestic violence. It's tiny for men.
If a man comes up and says that he's coerced with control or something, more than likely he'll be laughed at. No, not by Men's Aid, but by other people. He'd be laughed. He'd go home and talk to your wife and cop yourself on. This is what's out there. This is why men don't come forward.
Yeah, they're not taken seriously, generally speaking.
And Niall, you've gone through the divorce courts. I've gone through the divorce courts. I've gone through family law. If you go into court, family law, being a man, you're at a disadvantage immediately.
Yes.
And there's no, and I've no doubt about saying that whatsoever.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah. And now, as far as getting paid, Niall, no, you have to have some form of proof. Because we're getting to the stage now in Ireland where practically the liberals and the left are pushing it. If a woman accuses you of something, it's fact. That's it. It's fact, and there's no need for proof. There's no need for anything else. That's it. Like, she has to be believed.
It's done.
And yeah, done, dusted. You know?
And
that's where we are now at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't like to think that's always the case. I mean, a woman should... If a woman goes to the guards and says she's been abused by her husband...
Yeah. Yep.
There is no doubt she should be listened to.
Of course,
and taken seriously. But I don't believe a man should be charged with anything unless there's some sort of evidence that it's happening.
Now, a woman or a man, as far as I know, a woman can walk into a court now and apply for a barren order without the man being there.
That's right.
Vice versa.
Yes, you'll get a temporary protection order, a barring order. Yes, of course.
And you have to go to court and prove that you have to prove. That you're not, it's...
Yeah, I know, yeah. In your absence, that can be the order can be given.
I know I'm coming at this from the man's side, but I can't help it, because this is what we need to be sorting out, firstly. But as far as domestic abuse getting paid from your employer,
But it can be very difficult, be it for a man or woman, it can be very difficult to be in the workplace, trying to focus on your job.
Of course.
Perform your duties, while in the meantime, you're dreading going home because the individual you live with is going to give you a hiding.
Yes, exactly. What really needs to be done, domestic abuse is just a horrible thing. And for a man to beat a woman or to shout at a woman or anything, it just shows how weak he is. But on the other side of this, man, how weak a woman is. This is what needs to be done. And the punishments need to be dished out big time, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done. And you're dead right. If a person does go into the guards, they need to be, I wouldn't say believed, but they need to be taken seriously.
And that should go for male or female, by the way.
Male or female. And it needs to be investigated. And if we need a guarantee unit to do this, we'll go ahead and do it.
Okay, but in relation to time off, you don't believe it should be paid time off?
No, unless there's proof. And the only way you want to get proof is you have to report it. And I can't imagine people going in, washing their dirty linen in front of a boss, or my husband is beating me, or my wife is beating me, or,
Okay, we'll stay there for a second, because Helen, I want to go to you. Helen, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Helen?
Hi, how are you?
Well, Donald says no, unless you can prove it. And I don't know how you prove it. You have to have a black eye or something. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know how you prove that.
Well, yeah, it would be hard to prove in certain circumstances. But if your bruise is on your body, the company's going to know you're getting yourself beaten up, whether you're a male or a female.
But you're not going to want to show them to somebody, really,
are you?
No, you're not going
to want to show that. I think there should be paid leave, but the person who's been assaulted doesn't want to be at home. They want that paid leave time so they can find somewhere else to live or find a safe place of safety to get the person who's attacking them and get their kids, if there's kids involved as well. So I think there should be a certain amount of paid leave. Yes.
Sorry, say that, Donald.
Yeah, nice. And just, if you have bruises or something like that, you're physically hurt. Therefore, you get time off anyway. You just go sick.
Well, you'd have to go to your doctor and get a note, obviously.
Yeah, you have to go to your doctor, yes, exactly.
Yeah, but the whole idea of, you know, of this particular bill was to avoid the embarrassment of wanting to go to a doctor because people may not want to do that.
Well, unfortunately, I think it would be abused. And
do you think it'd be abused, Helen?
Yes. Maybe a little bit, yes, I say so. But it's needed more than... then your good chance of people are going to abuse it. If you understand what I'm trying to say, people need this leave to get out of the situation they're in, and they have no money probably coming from the partner who's abusing them. So they need a bit of money to either put a down payment on something or move or into a different house, a different shelter, whatever reason. They need that little bit of money while they're out trying to sort it.
I mean, when you talk about domestic violence, I just noticed here a case that's literally just come up in the papers as breaking news. A man who threw acid in the face of a woman, poured boiling water down her back and barricaded her into her home. When he then set a fire, has been sentenced to 11 and a half years in jail. 11 and a half years in jail is not enough for that fella.
That's
an animal.
Yeah, animal, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who does damage to someone else like that, whether male or female, should get life in prison.
Oh, yeah.
It's not 22 years, it's life.
Yeah.
Until life. They pass away.
Natural life.
Because
yeah.
That person, that injured party, has to carry that for the rest of their life. So why does the man get away with only 22, or the woman get away with only 22 years?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, that poor woman in that particular case will be left with both mental and physical scars for the rest of her life. Yeah. You know? Okay, but sorry, getting back, I was just distracted by that. Sorry there. Getting back to this particular idea of having legislation, you know, whereby you get time off work and you're like compassionate leave somewhat, I suppose, where you just say to your boss, I have a private matter. I don't know what you'd actually say to your boss. And I'm entitled to whatever, 3 days off paid leave. I don't know, Helen. I agree with it in principle because I think it's terrible for somebody to be in work in a situation like that. But how do you prove it? Because all domestic violence is not physical. It can be psychological. It can be coercive. You know what I mean?
I agree with you there. That is going to be hard to prove.
Mm. They're saying that they might approve a partial payment, but sure, you can get that on sick pay anyway, can't you?
Not all companies give sick pay. But yes, it is the principle is a good idea, and I think it should be there. Mm. But a company, if it's a good company, they'll know there's something going on with that person.
Do you think so? I don't know. Both women and men can be very good at hiding that.
Men in particular.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They can be very good at hiding it and going to work as if everything is normal, and inside their stomach is churning and their mind is doing overtime, dreading going home from work. I knew a guy years ago who was the victim of domestic violence. He hated going home. He loved work. And the reason he loved work was because he was outside the home and he was away from his wife. You know, because she was a nightmare. Now, she wasn't physically torturing him. I don't think she ever actually hit him. But she tormented him.
Yeah.
Constantly, all the time. And I witnessed it on numerous occasions, the way she spoke to him. She spoke to him like a dog. She spoke down to him. She told him what he could and couldn't do. She controlled him completely.
Yeah, I know a situation like that.
Yeah.
And it's a mother to her grown children.
Yeah.
So and it's terrible and it's awful and everything like that. But my opinion, that paid leave is to get out of the situation. You can't go back and it can't be paid leave to live in that house with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Paid leave should be used to get out of that situation.
Stay there a second. Let me go to Adam as well. Adam, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. Hey, Adam, sorry. 2 seconds, Adam, and I just turned you on there. Hang on, somebody turned you off. Sorry, Adam, go ahead.
I'm good, how are you?
Adam, should we get paid time off for domestic violence?
I think, in principle, the idea is something that's very much needed. I've got the same concerns as you've got, that it could be quite widely abused and manipulated in the same way that, well, let's, well, we all know if you go to a doctor with a bad back, you're going to get a sick note because you can't prove a bad back. You can't prove whiplash. You can't prove depression at early stages. But I think the way to eradicate that issue and to make this so that it is available for the people who genuinely need the help is that the paid leave is available to you at the point that you have been to the guards, there has been a criminal investigation, and there has been charges brought. As soon as those charges are brought, then you get your paid leave. Because that means that not only are we supporting that person financially to help them make change in their life, but they have also probably had that little nudge to find the initial help that they need by starting the proceedings. That's the only way that we can prove things.
Yeah. It is difficult. See, when you talk about physical domestic violence, that's kind of easy enough to prove. Not that you might want to make it anybody's business but your own. But in saying that, I don't want to use the word violence too much because by definition, violence is physical, right? But in saying that, domestic abuse in general can be psychological, it can be emotional, it can be coercive, it can be all sorts of things which can play havoc on your mental health.
It's becoming more and more of an issue now. I don't even think it's just that it's becoming more widespread in terms of media publishing more articles about it. I think it is the fact that obviously a lot of people had 2 or 3 years locked together during COVID. And I think we are starting to see just how controlling certain people are in certain relationships. And you hit the nail on the head. Men will always try and hide that because you sort of run the risk at times as a male. If you report or go to your best mate and say, oh, my wife, my partner's controlling me, you're sort of opening yourself up in a lot of cases for abuse from your friends then in what they believe is a humorous way. So I think it has to be across the spectrum, this paid leave, but I do believe it has to be after there's been a criminal investigation. Because going through that criminal investigation and dealing with that, there is no way somebody can be expected to concentrate at work and perform to the standards that, quite rightly, every employer expects their employees to perform to. You can't do that while you're going through an ongoing criminal investigation into something like that, because your life changes dramatically from the moment you go to the guards. The day you go to your guards, your life changes dramatically, whether you look at it from the negative side, that possibly family fallout, or you look at it from the positive side that you maybe don't see initially, which is that, you know what, I've taken the first step to get out of this relationship right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got to take a quick break. Adam, stay with us if you want to. The number is 087-188-0008. Adam makes a good point. I'm going to come to Kathleen straight after the break as well. We're asking you whether you believe people should get paid time off for domestic violence. And as I said already, the government have, or there's a new scheme which passed through the Shannon last night. The Labour Party believe that it's destined to fail, those who actually need it most, if they don't receive their full rate of pay. But we will be speaking to a little bit later on of Anna Bacik about that and why they believe that. And obviously they believe everybody should get full pay in relation to this. Although I think they would agree it's going to be very difficult to monitor, to prove, to, I don't know how you work it out, but I'll talk to Ivan about that later on.
Sorry, Niall, can you speak about single parents getting bullied by their own children then as well? The same as abuse.
It is, and we've talked about that many times on the show, so we have talked about, particularly, by the way, we had a woman on Monday, who was being abused by her own 15-year-old son, which is shocking. Some of the texts, by the way, coming in relation to this: if the job knows you're experiencing domestic violence, do they have a duty of care to do something about it, like report it to the police? I suppose like a doctor or a psychologist or whatever, a psychiatrist would. Well, maybe to give us a bit more information on that and how she feels about it, a Labour leader, Ivana Bacik, joined us in relation to what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes or so, and this is paid leave for domestic violence. Good afternoon to you, Ivana.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Now, I'm reading here, it says the Labour Party says it's destined to fail those who need it the most if they don't receive their full rate of pay. There's so many people has had an opinion on this over the last half an hour, and yes, we all believe it's needed, But the problem is, how do you enforce it? How do you know it's real? How do you know it's not being abused? Or, and how do you tell your employer? You might not want to tell them. You're embarrassed by it. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I can appreciate these are many of the really valid concerns that your listeners have. I think the first thing to say is that this is a very welcome development that we do now have the introduction for the first time of specific leave for domestic violence, specific leave arrangement entitlement for an employee who's suffering domestic violence. And for far too long, the incidence of domestic violence has been, has been hidden. There's been a taboo around speaking out about it. Survivors and victims have not received the necessary support. So I would see this now as just one part of the necessary, one piece of the necessary supports that, you know, that here in Ireland we're now offering to those who endure domestic violence. And very welcome. Clearly more needs to be done. I mean, you know, I'm thinking in particular of refuge places, which we know there are simply not enough around the country. But this provision for domestic violence leave is welcome. You know, it is important to give people the information about it. It will amount up to 10 days leave over a 12-month period. It is for a specific purpose. It's to enable an employee who have suffered domestic violence to seek medical attention or to get services from a victim services organisation, or indeed to go to court to get an order under the existing domestic violence legislation, or to relocate, or to seek advice from the Gardaí or from indeed a solicitor. So the specific reasons set out in the legislation, mm-hmm. The specific requirements then about how an employee notifies the employer.
So let's get to that very quickly. So how do you envisage that happening? Because as I said already, and people had said on the air earlier on, it might be difficult, say, and I don't want to genderise this, but sometimes men are a little bit shyer about coming forward. Women can be shy about coming forward too. I'm not suggesting they're not. But we've always had this fear that there is bigger, that the figures are just as large when it comes to men, but men are a little bit shy about coming forward because they believe they won't be taken seriously. And but for men and women, going to their employer and saying, listen, I'm the victim of, you know, psychological abuse, physical abuse, coercive abuse, or whatever type of abuse it happens to be, is going to be very difficult. They might not want to share that with their employer. They might not have that type of relationship with their employer.
Absolutely. I suppose the first thing to say is that we do know from international experience around every country that women are more likely to suffer domestic violence, that it is a gendered form yes. of violence. And certainly there are men also who are victims. I would be hesitant, Niall, about suggesting anyone is shy in coming forward. I think it's far deeper and far more serious than that. It's about a fear in among many survivors of domestic violence and many people going through it, and a fear of consequences, a fear of further abuse, and a fear of, you know, they will simply not get the relevant levels of support, the necessary levels of support. So I think it's a much, you know, if I may say, I think, you know, that's important to stress. Mm. And so this legislation is trying to address that fear, trying to offer support. But of course, it doesn't oblige or require anyone to come forward. So clearly, there may be people who won't wish to speak with their employer, who won't wish to disclose. You know, there's no obligation on them to disclose, but it does just give that additional possibility of support for an employee who is willing to disclose. How is the notice to be given? The detail will be set out in regulations that the minister is going to prepare now following the passage of this.
How do you see that happening? Would it be a doctor's note or something,
Well, could I say this? It's simply the legislation now says there'll be notice in the prescribed form. So that is a matter for the minister to say what the notice, how the notice will be given. And it's to be given after, as soon as possible, after an employee has taken the leave. Clearly, it's envisaged this is likely to be emergency leave. As I said, I've given you the sort of list of...
I know, yeah, they have to go to the family law courts for protection order or whatever it happens to be.
The sort of emergency reason why this leave is so badly needed. May I say, you know, the one aspect that we were disappointed about, while we in Labour very much welcome the leave, my colleague Senator Marie Sherlock spoke extensively in the Shannon last night, Niall, which is when we saw the bill finally pass. You know, our disappointment relates to the fact that this primary legislation, the main bill which sets out this, broad entitlement to domestic violence leave. This doesn't specify, unfortunately, that the leave is to be paid at full pay.
And it's a partial payment, yes, partial payment.
Well, the minister has said he wants it to be full pay. To be fair to the minister, he said it will be full rate and he wants to consult with expert groups on this. We suspect he didn't get the authorisation from government, from the rest of government, that it would be full pay. But we very much hope it will be. But it would have been much better to have had that specific rule that it would be full pay.
So you were saying...
Niall, there's a very practical reason for that. And Women's Aid and other organisations are very clear about this. If, for example, the pay for days taken on domestic violence leave is set at less, let's say it's set at 70% of full pay, well, that would obviously see a reduction in the amount that the woman, typically more likely to be a woman, will get. And if her abuser sees that reflected in the payslip, reflected in the money coming in, that may well alert them to the fact that they've taken leave. So there's a very practical reason why it should be full pay, not just because...
Okay, that's why you believe it may be destined to fail those who need it the most.
We very much hope, and you know, we take the minister's commitment in good faith, and I've spoken with Marie about this, Marie Sherlock, who, as I say, was our spokesperson in the Shannon last night on this, and you know, she pointed out to me, and indeed any of your listeners who are following the debate will be aware, the minister did say he wants it to be paid at full pay, and we very much hope and we'll be pushing the minister to ensure that happens. Clearly it would have been better and it would have been much clearer for victims to see that set out in the bill that was passed last night. Instead, we see again, it says that the minister will make regulations to prescribe the rate of domestic violence leave pay. So there will be a good deal of detail which we don't yet know about, because the minister is now being given the power to make these regulations, but we in opposition haven't seen the detail, for example, of what the notice will look like for employers or what that rate of pay is going to be.
Finally, in relation to domestic violence as a whole, we've spoke quite in detail about the leave and the payment and everything else. We spoke briefly there a few minutes ago about gender. And domestic violence, I don't believe, is gendered. Yes, you are right. Women are more likely to receive physical violence from men than men receive it from women. But of course, domestic violence takes many forms, including coercion, psychological abuse, and all sorts of things. And there has been statistics out that show that men are also likely. We don't spend enough money in this country funding, say, the likes of Men's Aid versus Women's Aid, funding organisations for men versus women. And I want to be fair to our male listeners too, who are texting in as well, saying, you know, they were the victims too, and they believe they weren't taken seriously enough. So is there a possibility going forward that we can set aside more of that funding? Because I had Men's Aid on the air here going back about 2 months ago, and they told me that only something like 1% of the funding that goes towards domestic violence goes towards men. And so much so, they don't even have a free phone number. They have a standard phone number that you have to ring, which costs money. So what I'm saying is there any way that we can sort of balance it up just a little bit? I do understand it is primarily women that are the victims of physical violence, and I'm not denying that for a minute. But I think we have to recognise that more and more men are getting braver to come forward and hopefully be taken seriously when it comes to domestic violence. So is that something that we should talk about too, or have that conversation?
Well, first of all, I think any person who's enduring domestic violence, or indeed, you know, any form of ongoing violence, I'm conscious it's not always in the home. It can be from a former partner. It can be from somebody with whom a person was living but is no longer, and so on. So I think anyone who's enduring that form of violence from within a domestic setting, or indeed from a former partner, I think they deserve full support. I think they deserve the protection of the law. And as I say, I think we've become better at recognising the need for support, although we haven't yet got to a point where every survivor is getting the services they require. And, you know, in opposition, we've been pushing government to ensure that this third national strategy on gender-based violence will be implemented in full, and in particular that we see refuge.
And absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more, Ivana, but we're still not recognising the fact, and I'm still trying to get to the fact that we're seeing a huge disparity and a difference between the genders in relation to how it's supported and how it's funded. I agree that women's must be funded more, because certainly it is leaning towards one side when it comes to gender. But we still have a lot of men who are the victims too, and there is no funding out there in relation to male domestic violence, very little. So can we not just get around a table and say, OK, we have to recognise there is a percentage, maybe certainly not as large as women, of male victims that we have to support too?
Well, as I say, Niall, I've worked, you know, for a long time, not just, you know, with groups supporting survivors of domestic violence, but also indeed as a criminal law practitioner. And I think it's, you know, it's it's undisputed that the majority of those who suffer domestic violence are women at the hands of men. It is a gendered form of violence. There's no doubt about that. Of course, organisations that offer support to men who suffer domestic violence should be supported and do need to be supported. And that is a matter for government. And indeed, there's a commitment to do that under the Third National Strategy, which actually has received cross-party support. You know, this Third National Strategy that Minister McEntee brought forward just last year on tackling gender-based violence, it contains some very important new proposals, including a new statutory agency. So again, we support that. I chaired the Gender Equality Committee in the Oireachtas last year, and we were very clear that we wanted to see supports put in place for organisations working with survivors. May I say, we've also called on government, we in Labour, to bring forward legislation on reproductive health leave to ensure that women who endure early miscarriage and who are currently not provided with any specific leave entitlement.
I remember we spoke to you at the time about that, yes.
We did, and I was grateful to you for having for highlighting this issue, and I know it's an issue that is of huge concern and impact for many women and indeed for their partners. This you know, endemic of early miscarriage, which is really again unsupported and unspoken about for in the workplace, and we do need to see government acting on that. We've called on government to take up our proposal on reproductive health leave, but unfortunately they wouldn't take our amendments in the Dáil on this. We're hopeful now we will be working with Minister O'Gorman further to try and get the early miscarriage leave provided for in law later this year. But it is, again, another piece of ensuring that we have sufficient support for employees who are going through experiences.
Okay, I support everything that you're doing in relation to that, Ivan, and we spoke in detail about that. It was just that I was quite horrified and shocked when I spoke to the Men's Aid CEO, Katrina Bentley, the last time she was on the air, when she told me that only 1% of the domestic violence budget goes towards men. And as a man, you know, I have to say, as much as I support every effort we make and support and funding that we put towards women's domestic violence, because I'd like to see it stamped out for everybody, I was horrified to hear that only 1% of the budget went towards men. When we see the percentage is clearly not 1%. You know,
As I say, we're now going to have a new statutory agency in place that will, I think, very importantly, take on a central coordinating role for support for survivors of violence. We've seen incredible work by women's shelters around the country, by Women's Aid, and by other local organisations too that are providing support, by Safe Ireland, all of these groups. And I think there's a recognition that more needs to be done for survivors generally, and that this new agency will be doing that. And I think that's really welcome. But I think we have to recognise the gendered nature of violence while ensuring there is sufficient support for all who suffer violence.
Listen, thank you very much indeed, Ivana Bacik. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the air. All right, if you have any opinions or if you have any views on that, you're entitled to send us a text. The number is 087-188-0008, or you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Now, I lots of messages coming in there. Yes, I get that. I understand what you're saying. Somebody says, Niall, I think it would be fair to say the majority of people who are the victims of domestic violence are female when it comes to physical violence. But when it comes to coercive control or psychological abuse, I think both men and women suffer equally. I would probably agree with you. It's less likely that a woman is hitting a man. But in saying that, it does happen. It does happen. There was an interesting thing. I remember many years ago, how long ago it was, Gerry Adams was actually in the Dáil. That's how long ago it was. And I think it was Enda Kenny, or Gerry Adams said to Enda Kenny, if I'm not mistaken, do you know the percentage of male victims of domestic violence? And Enda Kenny said, no, I don't. I'm sure you have them to hand. He says, no, I don't. And you know why I don't have them to hand? Because nobody's ever done it. But in the UK, they suggested it could be 4 in 9. But it's hard to gauge because they're less likely to come forward, because most of it isn't physical, it's psychological. And I do understand supports must be there for everybody when it comes to domestic violence, because there are victims all over the country, be they male and female, listening to me right now. And I want to be sensitive in the understanding that many of those are going through torture, they're going through hell. And if you are the victim of domestic violence, if you're a wife or a partner who's there at the moment dreading her husband or partner coming home or vice versa, and you're in fear of them coming home because you just want to get through another day, please don't put up with it any longer. Don't. Make today the day that you decide to sort that out. Do you understand? Make today the day that you are not going to put up with that anymore. And I know it can be difficult when you've got children, particularly when you're financially depending on the other person. It can be difficult because you don't want to get out of that relationship because you think, how am I going to survive this? How am I going to get through this? What happens to the house? What happens to the kids? Where are we going to live? all of those things. Or indeed, if you're a man, I'm going to be chucked out of the house. Where am I going to live? Will I ever get to see my children again? I'll have to go to court to get access. All those things go through your head and you think, is it easier just to put up with it? It's not easier to put up with it. It really isn't. You have one life. Only one life. And I know it could be torturous to have to get access to your children. And for a woman, it could be torturous to try and get maintenance from the ex-father or whatever it is, if he's booted out of the house because he's abusing you or abusing the children. All those things can be torturous. But you have one life. And you don't want to look back at the age of 60 and say, I should have left that relationship sooner. That's my one regret in life. I put up with that for 5 years when I could have been so much happier.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.